Welcome to Puentes, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is New Mexico State University Associate Professor Dr. Anita Hernandez. She was recently selected as the coordinator of the Children's Choice Awards and has been NMSU's Kid Literacy Chair in the College of Education for 4 years. Thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you, Emily. I'm glad to be on the show.
You're welcome. Tell me a little bit about what is the Children's Choice Awards, and then also about kid literacy, but a little background about you. You're originally from Guadalupe, California?
Yes, I'm from California, so I'm here now as a transplant in New Mexico and loving it. I really enjoy southern New Mexico and working at NMSU.
You got your bachelor's in liberal studies with a bilingual cross-cultural emphasis from California State University.
Yes, and Chico. That was the major we needed to become an elementary school teacher with a bilingual emphasis.
And then your master's?
In reading education from CSU Sacramento. And in 1999, I received my doctorate from Stanford University.
Now you've been here at NMSU for how long now?
4 years. Going on to my fifth year. So it's been exciting learning more about the communities and doing outreach and partnership programs with the schools.
Well, there were several books that were selected for the Children's Choice Awards. Tell me, first of all, what is it?
Okay, the Children's Choice Award is an award that is given by the International Reading Association and the Children's Book Council. So they have organized with the publishers that would like to participate for them to send books to 5 different areas. And NMSU, Southern New Mexico, Las Cruces, was chosen as Area 3 and one of the participating areas for having children read the books and vote on them. And they're voting for whether they love the book, it's okay, or no, I don't want to read it. So basically, children are reading these books and voting on their most favorite. So what just happened in May was that 90 books were selected and voted on by children across the U.S. And so 12,500 children voted as these 90 books were the most popular with them. And so any parent, librarians, or teachers looking for a list for summer reading, this would be great. The summer, the Children's Choices 2014.
And where can they get that list?
They could do a Google for the International Reading Association, or just do a Google for Children's Choices 2014, and it'll take them right to the list, and there'll be 90 books. Now, these 90 books are divided into about a third, and they're for the beginning readers, kindergarten, first and second, and then they have the early readers, third and fourth, and then the advanced readers, the fifth and sixth. Now, this is Children's Choices. They have a young adult choice list also, so for the seventh, eighth, and high school students, are for young adults.
And how was it you were selected as the coordinator?
Okay. Well, I had to apply. I submitted an application, but before I submitted an application, I had to check to see if we could get six public schools that had about 2,500 children, because that was one of the requirements. Do we have access to 2,500 children? I went ahead and invited more than 6 schools. And so today we have 10 schools participating in Children's Choices. And the most wonderful part about all of this is the publishers send the books to us at NMSU. We sort them into boxes for the early readers, you know, the K-1, 2, and then the third, fourth graders, and then the fifth, sixth. Once they're read and all of the votes are in, because the votes have to come in February, the schools get to keep the books. So you can imagine schools were very excited about this project because we're bringing in new books. And these are all the newest 2013 titles that publishers wanted to have in the pool of books that children would read and hopefully select one of theirs.
So the 10 participating schools were Cesar Chavez Elementary, Doña Ana Elementary, mm-hmm. Sunrise Elementary, mm-hmm. University Hills Elementary, North Valley Elementary, Academia Dolores Huerta, and the NMSU Lab School in San Miguel.
Yes, we also had Hermosa Heights Elementary, Hill Rise. For the sixth grade, we had Lynn Middle School, also in MacArthur. I think we didn't mention them, but yes, we had North Valley Elementary in the Gadsden School District.
So that's how NMSU was able to help Las Cruces and San Miguel school children select their best children's books.
Yes, yes. And we were excited because there are many rural areas in New Mexico. And so we really wanted to reach out and include not only the children that live in Las Cruces, but also in the outlying areas.
But for the last 4 years, you've been the Kid Literacy Chair in the College of Education, promoting literacy in New Mexico. How have you encountered that?
Well, first of all, it's a wonderful position. At first, I wasn't quite sure exactly what to do because I was new to Las Cruces and didn't know the communities. But since then, we have been working on a number of projects. This project, the Children's Choices, was the project that I worked on last year to bring 4,000 books to the schools, and the schools get to keep those books. And this is a 3-year project, so we'll eventually have up to 12,000 books in the schools that they can keep in their libraries or in their school libraries. Previous to this one, in 2012, I wrote a grant. It was a $1.8 million grant, 5 years, to work on professional development for teachers of bilingual learners. So the idea of looking at many strategies that would work for literacy with children that are bilingual.
One of those I was reading that you have is the use of cognates.
Oh, yeah.
What are cognates, first of all?
Okay, so that's one of our research projects. Cognates are those words that are the same in two languages. And we are working on English-Spanish cognates, but, you know, there's Dutch, English. There's many languages, French, English, cognates. But we're working on the Spanish-English cognates because, I don't know, Emily, do you know how many cognates there are? Are that English and Spanish share?
Tell me about that.
Okay. There are at least 20,000. So that is a rich source of work and that more teachers need to know about. And even parents can really learn more about that. Sometimes people say, oh, there's 500.
Well, give us an example.
Oh, an example, natural, natural. Okay, so in order for a word to qualify as a cognate, the criteria is that they are spelt the same or nearly the same. So you can have identical, like natural, natural, idea, idea, hospital, hospital. So there's those words that are identical. And then there's some that are similar. So, for example, professional, profesional. Okay, so those are similar. They're not identical. So it has to have the same spelling or nearly the same spelling, the same meaning or nearly the same meaning. And the third part of the definition is they come from the same word origin, the etymology. So that's what makes a cognate.
And what would you call a word that is spelled the same or nearly the same, but means totally the opposite?
The classic false cognate is embarrassed, embarazada. So one is that, you know, there's a faux pas, and then the other one is that someone is pregnant. Yes. But what we know from this research is that there are many more true cognates. And so we really want teachers and students to use that because they're really tapping into their rich linguistic background by using their Spanish to learn English, or the opposite works, using English to learn Spanish, because there's so many of these. So Dr. Jose Montelongo, my husband, and I have been working on that project now. What we're doing now is using the read aloud books and helping children see these cognates. And many of these are words that are considered academic words that you find in science, mathematics, for example, triangle, triangulo, geometría, geometry. So there's so many words because Spanish is the language of scholarship. Of Latin was the language that was used. And so because of Latin, and Spanish is a Latinate language, there's so many words. And English has adopted quite a few Latin words. And so that's the commonalities.
And what is the importance of children reading more?
It's really important that children read quite a bit, because just as your soccer player, your pianist, anyone who's doing sports or music, you know that practice makes perfect. The same thing goes with reading. Practice makes perfect. And so once children have learned a certain number of words, you know, they're very beginners. Once you are, you know, have a certain number of words, then really volume, the amount of reading a child does, is really very important. So I brought in a few statistics. For example, we know that from the work of the research study of Anderson, Wilson, and Fielding, that a fifth grader who reads 1 minute a day will be reading 51,000 words in a year. And they're equating that with how well a student does in school. That same fifth grader who reads 12 minutes per day for a whole year will be reading 601,000 words. And then the child, the fifth grader, that same fifth grader who reads 40 minutes per day for 1 year is really reading 2,357 words. And that really is equated with a higher achievement level, because the more you read, the more vocabulary, the more world knowledge you gain from reading. Reading is very, very important. And I know that there are children out there, because they are in my family, they avoid reading.
And how do you encourage them to read?
Well, that's why the children's choices is very important, because these are books that children themselves have selected as their favorites, books that they really love. And so a way to encourage children is just by interest. What are their interests? What do they gravitate towards? Do they like sports? Do they like soccer? Do they like, snakes? Or do they like butterflies? So finding books through children's interests. And then from there, they can grow their own interests and learn more about other subjects.
And how do you get the parents involved to getting their interest as well?
Well, right now what's happening is the schools, with these new books, many of the schools, the participating schools, are very excited about these new books because they were able to get them. They are now putting them in the library. So, for example, we were out with the principal, Mrs. Sherry Love from Doña Ana Elementary, and she was just talking about how in the fall, when school begins, they're going to be meeting with parents, and they're going to be telling parents that these particular books are on a special shelf, and they can encourage their children to check these books out, and they can take them home for independent reading. So the more the child reads, the better.
And what about with media and technology, that they're saying that less and less people are reading books and there's e-books?
Yeah, that's true. So an e-book, I don't have the e-books, but, you know, I've seen many people on planes with these e-books and they like them. They, you know, you can just turn the page by just touching the device, but they're very popular. I mean, it's still reading. I personally like, and maybe because I'm the literacy educator, I still love the paperbacks or the hardback books. And I think that that's very important for children to have a love of reading. And so really when young parents have their children, just like they buy toys, they really should be buying those board books and sitting the child on their lap and reading to them, or and just having the parents interact with the children around books. Sometimes parents are very busy. They can have the older sibling or the cousins or the relatives. You know, grandparents are really important to children's lives. So if they have any grandparents or any aunts, everyone, it takes a village to raise a child. You've heard that. So really any adult that is close to the child can help. Short interactions and sharing the love of books.
And how many people participated in the selection?
Quite a few, but I also would like to acknowledge how many people are helping with the children's book choices. So even though I'm the coordinator, really Dr. Michael Moorhead, the Dean of the College of Education, Dr. Jennifer Villa was a tremendous help in helping us organize 4,000 books. You imagine receiving all these books and then having to divide them. So I really want to thank them. And all of this really is possible because of Don and Sarah Kidd. They are the donors that have given the money in order to have special literacy programs for the community.
So that's the Kidd Literacy Program?
Uh-huh. They are the ones that gave the additional money to promote literacy throughout the state of New Mexico.
What were some of your favorite books that were selected?
Oh, okay. Yes, I have several that I thought were really great. Here's one about Nelson Mandela. So this is a picture book about the life of Nelson Mandela and his work in South Africa. Another one that I like here is Pancho Rabbit and the Coyote. And this is by Duncan Tonatiu, who's actually from San Miguel de Allende, and wrote a story about, through these animals, it's a rabbit and a coyote. And it's interesting that he uses the coyote because that has double meaning. The coyotes that bring people across the border. And here is his idea was to tell the story of what it's like to cross the border. Here's another book that I really like, and I know kids love this. This is Cartooning, and it shows children how to develop their own cartoons. This one is for younger children, the alphabet book, and I like this one because another thing that I think we need to really be thinking about is making sure that boys read.
Why, do girls read more than boys?
Girls tend to read more than boys. Here in the U.S., you know, we have that. Girls tend to gravitate towards that. And I'm not sure if it's because we have such a large number of teachers that are female. And so we tend to, you know, pass that on. But having books of different themes. So this one is an alphabet book of trucks. And this is not to say that all boys would like this and the girls wouldn't, but we have to really have a wide variety of books. Here's one that, Emily, you might like. This is Tito Puente, The Mambo King. So this is a bilingual book that was also of great interest. For the older students, we have a number of books, and this is one that's great, The Nine Lives of Alexander Battenfield. So a great book. The Case File 13 by Scott Savage and Jeffrey Saline, Lawlessness. So all of these are novels that your advanced readers would really like. Here's another one, The Lost Boy. That just readers would love to pick these up. So all of these are available in the libraries of these 10 schools. Now, of course, Brannigan Library is probably ordering many of these books because they are award-winning books and books that are popular with children. And if you go to the library, sometimes what happens is you won't find the book. It's checked out, which is a good sign. You want books to be checked out. We really don't want books on the shelf. We really want children checking books out, taking them home and reading them and enjoying them and talking about them.
Well, now that you've achieved as coordinator Children's Choice Awards, what is your next project coming up?
Oh, the next project. Well, we have a research project right now with Penn State that actually is going to be moved to Texas A&M. And it's a reading program for informational text. So these are topics about science, social science, and we even have topics about sports. So helping children be better readers of science, social studies, and, you know, just the informational topics. So that's what we're going to be working on. We're right now recruiting schools, both Gadsden, Las Cruces, and Hatch. And so that's what we're doing right now. And so that'll be a 20-week project. We will use the help of a doctoral student who will help us work with children on reading information books.
Well, you seem to have quite a passion for children's books. Did you have that growing up as a child?
Well, it was interesting. I grew up in a Spanish-speaking household. You know, my parents only spoke Spanish, but when I started kindergarten, you know, back then, you know, this dates me, but we were reading the Dick and Jane books. I don't know if you people talk about those, but I did learn to read in English, and it was when I went to Mexico in fourth grade with my mother that my grandmother taught me to read in Spanish. And she showed me how easy it was. And, you know, once you know how to read, you can read in another language much more easily. Of course, if you speak the language, and that's kind of the issue, you have to have a speaking vocabulary, an oral language vocabulary, in order to comprehend, because reading is thinking.
So that's very important then, to know that coming from another country, you can come here, learn English, learn the language, but still try to maintain your own identity and language.
Oh, yeah. And that's, in fact, that's our project, that we have a federal grant for 5 years, and it is a professional development grant, and we are focused on promoting biliteracy and bilingualism, because the benefits to being bilingual are so great. And a teacher that can speak in both Spanish and English just can communicate with so many more children than if you only speak one language, if you only speak English. And so we're trying to really promote that. And we're here in the borderland, you know, Juarez, El Paso, Las Cruces. I mean, I think it's such a rich area, and there's so many people that are bilingual and everything. There's a lot of things that are in Spanish. And so we're promoting more of that as well, because we see the benefits of being bilingual and biliterate.
So are some of the books on the Children's Choice Awards bilingual?
I brought one that is in Spanish, but no. And that is one of the issues with Children's Choice. And I saw that, you know, when I started to look at last year's list and the year before, I noticed that very few books were cultural or had a cultural background to them, and none were bilingual books. So that was my mission, and that was my goal. So next year, we've been, as the committee has been talking, and we spoke at the International Reading Association, and I wanted them to bring in more bilingual books. And so other coordinators across the country were saying the same thing. So I think the Children's Book Council is getting the message. We really need to have a wider variety of books that have, for like, say, African-American background, just the different cultural books, so that children are reading those. In fact, one of the books that I chose that's not on the list is one about peace. We have so much, you know, we hear our news and it's about war, people killing each other. We need more books about peace, cooperation, and living together in a more peaceful way. So, you know, books that we read to get children influence their thinking.
Well, that's very admirable. I really appreciate you coming out to KRWG on Puentes, and you've been a bridge to the community with your books.
Thank you.
With NMSU University Associate Professor Dr. Anita Hernandez. Muchas gracias. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Emily.
You're welcome.
Muchas gracias.
For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.